ABC Radio Australia.
Landmines, munitions and unexploded ordnance left over from the Second World War pose major safety risks to communities in the Pacific, but now new research has proven they don't need to explode to threaten lives. A study from the University of Queensland and United Nations Development Program has found thousands of decaying bombs in Solomon Islands are releasing toxic chemicals onto land and sea, threatening the health of locals in coastal areas. The environmental impact assessment is the first of its kind to be carried out. And to find out more, we are joined by the UNDP Solomon Islands Deputy Resident Representative, Raluca Eden. Raluca, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Great to be with you.
No, thank you for joining us. Now, it's been 84 years since that Guadalcanal campaign, but the island is obviously still laced with unexploded ordnance. What's happening to them now after all this time?
We are finding that the chemicals are seeping into the soil, rivers, and coastal ecosystems, and they can persist for a long time, contaminate sediments, and enter the food chain. So over time, this affects water quality, damages ecosystems, and reduces the safety of land and fishing areas that communities rely on for their livelihoods.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like a really interesting study. So can you take us through, I guess, what kind of bombs your study focused on? Are we talking like unexploded shells, grenades, were they ammo dumps, a bit of everything?
A bit of everything, actually. The study looked at a wide range of World War II ordnance, and this included aerial bombs, artillery shells, naval munitions, grenades, and ammunition stockpiles. We also looked at former dump sites, both on land and in coastal waters, to understand how contamination moves through the environment.
Yeah, right. And how are they degrading? Is it just a matter of 80 years of environmental impacts just sort of rusting away at them or something like that?
Well, we are finding that they are contaminating the land areas and also affecting marine lives. Marine ecosystems, explosive residue, for example, in shellfish that we collected from coastal areas shows that contamination is moving through the food chains. And communities have reported symptoms after eating seafood from these locations, including rashes and vomiting, illness in infants through breastfeeding. And while more research certainly is needed, the exposure pathways are quite clear.
Yeah, I did read some of those really alarming findings, particularly around the explosive residues found in seafood. So, how has that impacted the health of local people?
From what people are telling us, we now know that they feel sick after eating clams or fish, for example, from certain areas. So they generally avoid those places. They also told us that they cannot farm in certain areas because of the heavy contamination. And they also shared their fears, especially mothers, especially for children living and playing near such threats.
Yeah, God, it's really concerning stuff. Now, obviously, it's not just the land that these bombs are degrading. It's the maritime environment as well. Now, like the shellfish and things like that are one thing, but what about like the marine environment, like the coral and things like that? Does it have an impact in that area?
That's a very good question, Kyle, and that suggests that, in fact, much more research is needed. So this was a first step, looking at contaminated shellfish and how the pollution is moving through the food chain. But certainly we need to gain a much better understanding of the broader impacts, including on coral reefs.
Yeah. Now, I understand that you yourself live in the Solomon Islands. I know you've spoken to a lot of the communities that live close to these UXOs. What kind of stories have you heard from them in your time in the Solomon Islands, you know, just in terms of what they've got to deal with on a day-to-day basis?
Indeed. We see that, in fact, UXO impacts the many facets of people's lives. And that's why we also think that this is more than just not an environmental story or just a story about security. It is a story, it's a development story fundamentally, because it affects food, health, and livelihoods. And it will have an impact on the development of these areas.
Yeah. So can you expand on that a little bit? Like when you say like development of the area, is that it, what does it prevent them from, you know, sort of, you know, like building an economy or things like that, or just being able to expand essentially?
There's probably multiple dimensions to this question. So on a personal level, of course, it prevents farmers from accessing their fields. It raises fears in the communities about the quality of their water. It means that mothers have to worry about their children who develop mouth ulcers as a result of being exposed to contaminated breast milk. So there is that human aspect, but there is also a bigger picture, which is about the hidden economic costs of these health and environmental impacts that place an undue and very heavy burden on a developing country like Solomon Islands.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating. Now, I know there's a lot of, you know, there's certain NGO groups who do a lot of work in this space, like the Halo Trust. They go in and clean this ordinance up, and they do a fantastic job. But I guess just to give the listeners an idea, you know, it was Guadalcanal was such a huge battle at the time. Like, how much ordinance remains in the country? Like, is it, can you measure it, or is it just impossible to measure?
Well, we know it has been cleared. And so the focus, mainly until now, has been on the immediate danger of explosions, which have saved many lives. What is new now is that the science is showing the long-term environmental contamination. So we estimate that about 65% of the remaining ordinances on Guadalcanal. We also know that a lot of it is very close to the coastline, so within 1 kilometer, or most of it within 5 kilometers of the coastline. So this is an accelerating crisis, an accelerating problem that is worsened by climate change, because, of course, with increasing floods or extreme weather events, more of the UXO gets exposed, and therefore the risk of contamination increases.
Yeah, God. I mean, and what do you think is the best course of action in terms of mitigating these risks? Like, does there need to be more external help from foreign governments? I know that the Japanese government obviously played a part in this particular project, but does the US or Australian government, do they need to do more? Like, what would be the best course of action, do you think?
I'm really glad you asked that question. So this is a story of a challenge, but it's also a story of hope. It's a story of partners coming together. The Solomon Islands government has been leading this effort with support from development partners, which shows how the legacy of war can actually be turned into a story about recovery and resilience. But much more needs to be done. And that is also why the UNDP is involved, supporting the government in its efforts for faster clearance, and especially in high-risk areas, and fishing grounds and farming areas and reefs. Also better monitoring of water and food. And this requires, of course, partners to come together. Japan, as you've mentioned, has been an important partner. Australia is sharing a history with Solomon Islands, and obviously would affect Solomon Islands, affect regional stability and health. And we are happy that in this case, solutions are both the practical and the responsible thing to do.
Yeah, well, it's great that people like yourself are in the Solomon Islands and are able to carry out this sort of work. But yeah, like you said, it sounds like there's a lot more work that needs to be done. So hopefully that in the coming years there's some more aid and funds can be injected into the region to help out, and hopefully it's not still there in another 80 years, Raluca.
Well, we certainly hope so, and we are happy that this is actually a problem that we know the solution to. It has practical solutions. It is doable, and it definitely is a story about multilateral action delivering real results.
Raluca, thank you so much for joining us on Pacific Beat today, and good luck with the work that you'll continue to do.
Thanks so much. Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. That was UNDP Solomon Islands Deputy Representative Raluca Eden joining us there on the line from Honiara.